integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Today on Integrated, I want to talk about motivation. Motivation to live for Jesus. What could be more important than that? Don't you have some of those days where it's just like spiritually you feel flat, you're not ready to go and to live for the Lord with all of your heart? You know that's the right thing to do, but is it just a duty? And what's going to get you going? What's going to put that rocket fuel in your heart to get you where you need to be for the Lord? Well, because this is such an important topic, it's one that many authors have given careful consideration to. I remember the first time I read Jerry Bridges, well, I guess the first time was when he wrote that book, Pursuit of Holiness, and that was so great and so arresting from my kind of traditional Baptist church. I wasn't so motivated to pursue holiness. And Jerry Bridges just laid it out so plainly about our importance of doing so. Well, later he came out with a book called Transforming Grace and one called The Discipline of Grace. And he said this is sort of the missing ingredient in pursuit of holiness. And that's where he really came with the idea that God's grace should motivate us. We should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Let me see if I can remember how he said it. He said, your best days are not beyond the need of God's grace, and your worst days are not beyond the reach of God's grace. We need to start our day by reminding ourselves of the gospel. And then we're sort of filled with gratitude, and that gratitude then motivates us to live for Jesus, not to earn his favor, not to keep his favor, but because we have his favor in Christ Jesus. Oh, that was just revolutionary. Well, then along came a book called Future Grace by another one of my spiritual heroes, John Piper. I really appreciate so much of what John Piper has taught and preached over the years, many, many years, the pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I've been to his pastor's conferences and read many of his books. But Future Grace was an interesting one because he kind of starts out by saying, hey, gratitude ought not be our motivation. You know, gratitude's good, but, there's not a lot of verses that connect the dots between gratitude and living for Christ. And he says, instead, it should be future grace. God has poured out his grace on us in the past, but we need to look for the future. Look to the Lord, and he's going to give us fresh grace for today. And that's where our motivation is. Well, that's kind of interesting. How do we connect these dots? How do we, what do we think about that? Are we going to say, I am of Bridges or I am of Piper? Well, no, we must not do that. And we thank God that they actually, those two brothers, got to spend time together and both have said great words of appreciation and affirmation of each other. And I would even come back to one of John Piper's concerns that he brought out was that if you allow gratitude to be your main motivation for living the Christian life, you are going to fall into what he calls the debtor's ethic. In other words, Jesus has done so much for me. What must I do for him? Even as one of the hymns says. So maybe you've sung that song before. And is that true? Is that a possibility? I think we would say, yeah, there's a possibility that you would get into something of a debtor's ethic, but I'm not sure that that's necessarily going to be the case. Just because you're focused on all that Jesus has done for you at the cross, does that necessarily mean that now your motivation shifts away from love for Jesus and gratitude to I must do my duty, I must pay back Jesus? I don't think that's the case at all. And so I remember reading Future Grace and kind of being troubled by that concept. Is that what I'm doing? Am I all about the debtor's ethic? But thankfully, I kept reading, and there wasn't a whole lot beyond that first section. And I have to say, I've heard John Piper say himself, he writes provocatively. Sometimes he throws things out there and says them in a way that just gets you to think a little bit. And I appreciate that. In fact, I've had the opportunity to write little newspaper articles for our county newspaper here on the south side of Atlanta for many, many years. And I realized I needed to follow John Piper's lead on that, because if you just say the same things in the same ways, people read those articles and go, okay, that's fine. So you have to be a little bit provocative in the way you express God's truth just to get them to stop and think. I used to laugh and say that my newspaper articles were on the bottom of bird cages all over, you know, Noonan, Georgia, but because people would just read them and send them to the bird cages. I suppose now, if you're going to read them at all, it's going to be online, because so few people read papers anymore as our day has moved on. All right, so let's come back and think about what we're saying here. All right, is Jerry Bridges right? Is gratitude a good thing? Should we preach the gospel to ourselves every day? Or is John Piper right that gratitude can easily turn into the debtor's ethic and you have to beware of that? Again, I'm putting words into his mouth. He says gratitude is a gift from God, and very right. He just says it ought not to be our motivation, and this debtor's ethic is a problem. Now, before I keep going, because I want to show us from Scripture, I really do think gratitude and love for Jesus ought to be our main motivation. What I wanted to qualify was, I love Future Grace. I'm so glad I kept reading it, because he spends the rest of the book talking about how God's promises are so wonderful. In fact, Future Grace, and if you wanted to even blur the lines and say, we're living by hope, you know, faith aimed forward. Faith and hope are huge motivations for believers. And John even takes many practical issues in Future Grace, like anxiety or lust, and he shows us how meditating on the promises of God revealed in Scripture is very motivating to conquer our crises of life that we endure. And so, like so much of all that John Piper has done, I really think this book is great and is worth your time in reading it. But I do think that there might be a few seeds to spit out. But you know what? There's a few seeds to spit out in my books that I've written. I'm sure we're the best of men or men at best, and we're all trying to be faithful to communicate the Word of God the best that we can. And I think that if you are trying to be provocative a little bit, you're in just a little bit more danger of adding a few seeds by accident. But let's open up the Bible here and find 2 Corinthians 5. I think 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 are going to help us to kind of get in our minds the best motivation that we can have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15, let me read the text. for the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Now, of course, there's a very clear reference to the cross in this section, isn't there? We're living for him who for their sake died and was raised. That's where we're going to go, huh? And maybe there is something to preaching the gospel to ourselves day by day, reminding ourselves of this glorious truth that I'm a sinner. I deserve God's wrath. Even my best works are still tainted with my own fallenness and remaining sin. I'm so grateful that the foundation of my relationship is not based on my performance. It is based on the performance of Jesus, his perfect life, his substitutionary death, his glorious resurrection, his opening my eyes to see my sin and put my trust in him. That's the foundation. Well, when we come back after our break, we're going to look at this a little more carefully, seeing gratitude for the cross as fuel for the Christian life.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment, who's been diving deep into what motivates us to live for Jesus. And that's a pretty crucial question, isn't it? Whether you're feeling spiritually flat or you're on fire, we all need to continue moving forward in our walk with Christ. And speaking of that, have you checked out Jerry Bridges' book, The Practice of Godliness? When it comes to developing godly character, Bridges shows us how godliness is more than just a character trait. It's what makes the entire Christian life effective and pleasing to God. This book will open your eyes to see how character formation affects the way you relate to God, you relate to yourself, and you relate to others. You can find The Practice of Godliness right now, along with some pretty other great resources, online at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel like maybe you're not getting the most out of your daily Bible study? If you're looking to dig deeper and dive deeper, well, let me implore you to check out Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider. It's all connected and it's free. It will give you access to daily, biblically grounded content that will do nothing but strengthen your faith and sharpen your discernment, because that's what we're here for. That's why we exist. And I'm not talking about content that's just a bunch of fluff. I'm talking solid, theologically rich material that will help you navigate this crazy, brave new world we're living in. And so you can do all of that. You can find Fortis Plus, you can download the Fortis Plus app, or you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider all right now at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of navigating this world, this is exactly what Fortis Institute is all about, helping you stand firm in our faith. The world's not too fond of Christianity these days, and so Fortis Institute, why we exist, is to equip you to thrive in this brave new world, bringing together some of the best Christian thinkers and provide you with resources that will help you stand strong. But here's the thing, we can't do this alone. We need your help. So if you would prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be forever grateful for that. Your support will allow us to continue producing content like this show and develop new resources to equip believers just like you. Just head over to fortisinstitute.org right now and learn how you can become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And now let's jump back into today's episode of Integrated with Dr. John Krotz as he continues to show us how to integrate our theology into every aspect of our life. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back to Integrated. Today we've been talking about motivation. Motivation. I remember Henry Aaron once in an interview talking about would anyone ever break his long-standing home run record of 756 home runs? And he said, I don't think so. And this was many years ago. And he said, I don't think people stay hungry long enough to break my record. They're not going to be able to because they get paid so much money. Why would you put your body through everything required to get out there and hit so many home runs year after year after year to get to that number. And so he didn't think you could, that motivation would last. So interesting, isn't it? But when you think about the Christian life, what motivates us to live for Jesus? Obviously, the world, the flesh, the devil, they're against us. And in our first segment, we considered how Jerry Bridges said, yeah, the gospel and gratitude for what Christ has done ought to be our motivation. So preach the gospel to yourself every day. And I pointed out that years later, John Piper wrote a book called Future Grace, where he warned that gratitude could turn into the debtor's ethic, where we feel like we owe the Lord for all that he's done for us. And so instead, we should look to future grace. We should have hope in the promises of God. That should be our main motivation. Well, I'm not sure these guys are our enemies or at odds with each other. I think that John Piper might have been trying to be a little provocative in that. But I think that Jerry Bridges is right, because there are many references in the scripture to how motivating the love of Christ is in our lives, and how the love of Christ is manifested in the cross of Christ. And so as we meditate by preaching the gospel to ourselves about what Jesus has done for us, I don't think that that makes me want to go, okay, now I owe Jesus, I better do payback time. No, it just fills me with love for him and a desire to live for him. At the end of our first segment, I took us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us. That is, Jesus' love for us controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. When we meditate on the cross of Christ, we are motivated to live for Jesus. Well, consider other verses that talk about how the cross of Christ is the high point of the revelation of how much God loves us. Jesus was talking to his disciples in the upper room right before the cross, and he said this in John chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Praise God that we are friends with Jesus. You know, we don't want to trivialize our relationship with Jesus. Sometimes people say, oh yeah, Jesus is my buddy. Well, listen, Jesus is the Son of God, glorious Son of God. He is the fierce lion who is going to come back with majesty and authority and judge the living and the dead. But Jesus has drawn us to himself in such a way that he, the glorious one, will say to us that we are his friends. And he demonstrated his love for us by dying for his friends on the cross. You remember the words of Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. It comes up again and again throughout the New Testament. The standard of love is the cross. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 say, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. When Paul wrote these words, do you think he wanted the Ephesians to pause and reflect upon how much Jesus loves us and how that ought to be motivating for us to love our brothers and sisters just like the Lord loved us? I don't think that that's the debtor's ethic. I think it's gospel motivation in its purest form. John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Well, how do you know love? Jesus loved us. How did he show his love? He died for us. And how should we live for him then? We should sacrifice ourselves to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters. Maybe one more along these lines is when Paul personalizes the work of Christ to himself in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, "It is no longer I who live," in my text, Galatians 2:20, which says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, there's not many times in the Bible where Paul or any of the authors of Scripture personalize the work of Christ. He loved me and gave himself for me. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul does exactly that. And he says, "I'm not living for myself. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." Maybe John Piper would say, "Yeah, faith in future grace, pal." And I go, "Amen, that's right." And like I said, I got so much good out of that book, Future Grace, even though I quibble with the debtor's ethic part. But we just see Paul motivated because of the love of Christ for him. I think maybe the biggest text that would kind of prove that we need to go back to the cross for our motivation is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where he says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God." And if you know the book of Romans, you know that so much of chapters 1 through 11 is all about the cross, and it's all about the work of the cross, our condemnation, our justification, our sanctification, the future hope of Israel. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so now, as Paul gets all practical in chapters 12 through 16 of Romans, he has a great hinge moment. Therefore, I appeal to you, therefore, on the basis of that, by the mercies of God, to do what? What's our what are we motivated to do now that we have seen the cross in such detail, so vividly laid out in chapters 1 through 11? Well, here's what you're supposed to do. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What should you be motivated to do because of the mercies of God? Oh, climb up on the altar and sacrifice yourself for the Lord, but don't be dead, be living. Climb up on the altar and sacrifice yourself for the Lord. You should, but don't be dead, be living, a living sacrifice. In other words, live for Jesus with all of your might. This isn't payback. This is motivation because of being overwhelmed by the love of Jesus for us. I don't think this is the same as the debtor's ethic. Where are you today? Are you feeling kind of flat? We all do. Hey, there's another great book John Piper wrote called When I Don't Desire God. I love that book as he talks about what he does when he feels spiritually flat. But I want to just say, if you are that person right now feeling flat, let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to the cross. Let's take the counsel that Jerry Bridges gave us and preach the gospel to yourself today. Yes, you're a sinner. You're worse than you even know. Your heart is deceitful and doesn't even let you realize how bad you are. But God knew that going into this. He loved you in spite of you. He died on the cross for your sins, including your flatness. And he rose from the dead. You trusted in Christ. You're believing in him. And what does that make you want to do? Not pay back, but yes, to live for him. Yes, to love him. You know, the Bible says we don't want to be just hearers of the word. When we hear the gospel afresh and anew, we want to become doers of the word. And may the Lord give us grace to be motivated by a fresh view of Jesus, to live for him today.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.